Greetings in Jesus' precious name this morning. It's a pleasure and a blessing to be gathered in the house of God this morning to worship Him together. And I was blessed tremendously this morning as we studied the Sunday school lesson and the challenge to make right choices, to keep right focus in life is so important. And how do we do that? You know, I don't think any one man decides that, you know, half my life, the beginning of my life, I'm going to live right, and half my life, I'm going to live wrong. That you don't decide that. But it's little choices I make in a daily life that take me one direction or another. And how do I know where I'm going to end up? How do I know the direction that I'm taking is going to get me where I really want to go? I'd like to take my message from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul, in verse 19, tells the Corinthians something that I think all of us need to consider. He says in verse 19, he says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Ye are not your own. That's what I like to think about this morning. Title of the message. The Corinthian church was falling short of living for God the way they should. They were in a state of moral decay. They were in a state of falling apart. And Paul gives them some instruction here in this chapter. We're going to break in at verse 12 and read to the end of the chapter. It says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and belly for the meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that ye which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." And this is why verse 19 is in here. He says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Through the past weeks, I was thinking about when you read the news and watch society, there seems to be so much on happiness. There seems to be a desire. There's a want for happiness. There's a want for satisfaction. There's a want for a good life. But there seems to be so little of it. There seems to be so little joy in humanity. The news is filled with people that are unhappy with people that are angry with other people. Don't like this, don't like that. There's many, many protesters that flog the streets today. For what? To prove their own point, to get their own way. And really, in the end, it's all human nature. In the end, we all have the man today seeks for joy and happiness. But they seek it in a way that brings totally the opposite. We think if life happens the way I think it should happen, then happiness or joy or peace will be there. Paul says that ye are not your own. We are not our own, but we are God's. You know, God created us. God made us. He put you in this life. And He's going to decide when your life is going to end. He's going to decide when life is over for you. Whether it be the rapture, or whether it be a sudden death, or whatever it might be. But God decides that. That's not our choice. But between the now and the then, we have choices, everyday decisions that we make. A daily choice. Many, many different decisions. I like to look at a couple of points here, especially in verses 19 and 20. We'll be looking at some of the other verses too as well later on. But the reason that you are not your own is that you were bought with a price. And he tells the Corinthians here, he says, you are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. God has purchased us back. He has provided the payment and the plan for us to be part of Him. There's nothing you did to get here, and there's nothing that you can do about your eternal destiny. However, as we were bought with a price, we need to accept the provision of salvation if we plan to make it. If we plan to have joy or peace in our lives. Because we are in bondage to sin unless we free ourselves of that. We are in bondage to the power of sin. John 8, verse 24. Let's just turn there. It says this. Actually, let's back up to verse 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And he was telling the people here that if you do not believe, you will die in your sins. You will die in the way, and you will be unsaved. And then also in Hebrews chapter 9, turning to a few other. Hebrews 9, verses 12 to 14. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats, and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? There again, a so much better sacrifice than that of the old. He compares it to the Old Testament sacrifice of the blood of bulls and goats. But such a so much more perfect sacrifice, one that could take away the sins, to remove our sins, not only just cover them, but remove them. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 talks about a chosen people. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye shall show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has chosen you and I to be a part of his kingdom. He has chosen us to be a part of, to be his sons and his daughters. Jesus went to Calvary to pay the price so that you and I can have freedom in our hearts. We do not have to seek after the world and its ways of entertainment and its ways of trying to find peace to be able to have peace in our hearts. We do not have to seek after what they have to offer. But we can have peace through the Word of God and through His Spirit in our hearts. Spurgeon says this. He said, "The Lord Jesus is everything in redemption. He is both the buyer and the price. He has purchased. He has provided the payment to purchase us to be His children." Because of that, He owns us, and His life is. Is payment. His blood was payment for our sins, to get us back. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve took of that fruit, they separated themselves from God. They put a wall between them and God. And Calvary has taken down that wall and made it possible that we can be part of God's family. However, sin will separate us, will keep us separated from God. Excuse me. So as, turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel 18, verse 4, it says, "The Lord, and behold, all souls are mine, as the souls of the Father, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, and the soul of the sinner, it shall die." It says all souls are mine. Each one of us have a soul. Each human life has a soul within them. And that soul is God's. God decides what happens to that soul upon the choices that you and I make, upon the daily decisions that we make, the choice of the direction of our life. Because God is the creation, and because of His death, He owns us. He owns. And so why not, if God owns us, if God owns my life, then isn't it up to Him on the paths that He chooses for my life to walk? Isn't it up to Him on the life that He chooses to give me? It should change my perspective on life, on how I look at situations, when I realize that God is the owner of my life. When I think about my senses and what I use them for. Think about our eyes for a minute. If my life is God's, then think about our eyes. What are the things I feast upon? What are the things I look at? We say the eye is the gateway to the mind. And what my eye seeth will enter the mind. It matters what I look at. It matters what I see. So what am I seeing? Am I lusting after evil things? Am I lusting after wrong? Think about our ears. Do I listen to foolish talk? Drink in every... This came from another writer. He said, do I listen to every foolish tale? Drink in every political, worldly, or carnal tidbit which may fall upon, and feed that natural desire for news, gossip, and even slander. It does matter what we listen to. Is that what I feast upon? Do I, you know, finally, we tune our ears to what you want to hear. You know, if I am constantly looking for ways to criticize, to come up with problems, I believe that's what I'm going to hear. If I always look at the faults of others, and I'm willing at any moment to send gossip about someone else to someone else, if I'm willing to slander those others to make myself look good, that's what I'm going to hear. That's what I'm going to say. That brings us to the other point of the tongue. Because finally, what you hear and what you hear out of a conversation, you will hear conversations. You can have two people and they will hear the same conversation. I know they'll redefine it in two different ways. And it's a challenge to me because it's easy in life to pick out the wrong of others, or what other people might be doing wrong, and hear that. And after a while, you become this critical, slanderous person that is willing to twist the truth with your tongue because to make yourself look better, really. You know, if all the protesters out there today would get exactly what they want today, they would have exactly the justice they want. I don't believe any one of them would be happy. They wouldn't know what to do with what they got, for starters. And I don't believe they would be happy. And that's the problem, because we think we know what we need and we think we know what we want. But in the end, does that really hold out the way it's supposed to? Does it really hold out the way we think it will? Think about our hands for a moment. What am I doing with my hands? Do I use my hands to build my own kingdom? Or am I using my hands to help other people? Laying aside my own things to help other people. It might be going and helping somebody else, even though you yourself, you're laying aside something that you consider important in your own life. Might be just taking the time for other people to help somebody out. Sometimes that can be the greatest blessing in the part of another's life, is by simply using our hands to help them. Our feet, the direction of our travel. What am I using my feet for? For God. again, it comes in the area of our hands. You know, sometimes other people can read the direction of our feet a lot better than we can ourselves. A lot of times other people can see the direction that we are headed better than we can ourselves. He was telling the verse 11 here of our text, or 9 to 11. He talks about, I'm just going to read that. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. For such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God." He says, clean yourselves. Get rid of the filthy lifestyle that you've been living. Clean yourselves and come before. You know, those things aren't part of the kingdom of God. Those things are part of another kingdom. And he says, you are washed. We need to clean ourselves by God. And clean ourselves by the blood of God. And First Corinthians 3 verse 19 says, "Do ye not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom ye have from God?" He says, "Know ye not?" He talks about that in verse 19 as well. He says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Because of that, we have a responsibility. Because God is our own, we have a responsibility to allow our life to be used of God and to allow the circumstances of life to glorify God, to magnify God, to praise God. He says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And really, a life that is committed to God, a life that understands that God owns him, her, God owns you, as a life that is simply going to be looking at God for what they get and what they give back. You're going to be looking at God for what he gives you in life. Every circumstance you face in life will then become, the only word I can think of is God's problem, but it'll become God. And the glory your life will give back to God automatically, because really it was God that has given what you have in the first place. It is God that has given you your very breath. And so the response to that is just simply give it back to God, the owner. It should well within us an appreciation for what God, a life that understands that they are bought and their life is God's, is going to live out an appreciation for God. And it's going to come out in many areas of their life. It's going to come out all over them. Other people are going to see it. The attention is not going to be on the life, but rather on God. from other people. The bickering, arguing, fault finding, and many other things will simply go away and will not be a part of that life. There will be a deep adoration, a deep worship for God, a reverence for God, a respect. Psalms 29 verse 2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." It says, "Give unto the Lord." I believe David realized that in his life. He simply gave back to God again and again and again. There will also be a deep love for God. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Is my life demonstrating that? Do I love the Lord with my entire heart, with my entire soul? Is simply my life simply a complete love for God and an acceptance of his plan? And next, that will come out in obedience. I will want to obey God when I realize it will come out in a complete obedience to God. And a relationship that is deep rooted. Turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 11 and 12. Actually, starting at verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." We are strangers and pilgrims. Life will become dim when my life, the problem and the struggle of life becomes dim when I focus on God. When I allow my life to be in adoration and love for my God. When I understand that He cares about me and that He loves me. And it's then and only then that I can find true peace and happiness, and that I can find rest in the Spirit of God.